On a recent morning when opening my reading device for Bible study, part of a verse at the very top of the page was from Romans 11:16, and I read it in part. It said, "Never be wise in your own sight." You know, those words seemed to jump off the page at me. I paused and reflected on that statement. Good morning and welcome to this time of worship and fellowship. We're glad that you could join us this morning. Please stay with us following worship for more on being a wise guy.
Every person in here loves you, and we're family, and we've come together.
I know.
So, go serve the family.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Join me standing, please, as we get started.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high, and His glory is exalted.
Good morning. I want you to look at this microphone for a second. Good morning. That's the way it was when I got up here. Who do you think that was prepared for? Goliath got killed many years ago. Good morning, church. It is so good to see you. If you're here for the first time, you're our honored guest. Welcome. It is so good to see friends that I haven't seen in a while. I see Patricia and Byron Binkley right back there. What a gift it is to see you both. Welcome. I want you to know, if you read the book of Acts, it tells you how the church was created and how it grew. And I love there in Acts chapter 2, starting verse 42, and you go through verse 47, and it talks about how they continued with the apostles' teaching. But it also said they fellowshipped, and they broke bread together daily. And I want you to know, this afternoon, after we conclude worship, we have a chance to go right through those two doors, back to the fellowship hall, and spend some time with each other. What a blessing that is, where we can break bread or drink soup as we celebrate today together. So if you're visiting, stick around. There's going to be lunch provided for you, and we'll have some time to be together today. I hope you take advantage of the things that this church does. I hope you get a chance to take advantage of the wonderful classes that are offered prior to worship on Sunday morning, where you can open up God's Word and study it at verse by verse and look at what God has called us to. On Wednesday nights, we have incredible offerings for you. And starting March the 1st, Jim Brown is going to start a new class on Wednesday nights to go along with others, where he's going to talk about portraits of Jesus seen in the book of John. I wish I could be in that class, because it will be amazing. Of course, there's other class offerings too. Rhett Johnson does such a great job directing our adult education. He teaches a class on Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights. And then starting March 1st, we're going to have another class in the fellowship hall that we call Roundtable Discussions, where we'll talk about topical things that Christians deal with and open God's Word and what's God's answers for those things. So we're trying to continue to be this church that grows, that impacts lives. And you have an opportunity to impact not only your life, but impact someone else's life by coming and being a part of that and bringing a friend. We hope you're taking advantage of that. As we continue in our worship this morning, I want to read from the book of Revelation. Starting in chapter 4, verse 9, listen to this as I read. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." That is God's word. We're blessed to be together today. Let's continue in our worship.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne
with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion.
We sing. Our Father in heaven, we pause now as we begin this period of worship to thank you for the blessings you bestowed on us for this day, this opportunity we have to gather together with Christians and praise you and learn more about your will for us, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful weather we've had lately. We thank you for life itself. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go through this service today. Help us to listen with an open heart, to take the lessons that we hear and apply them to our lives so they may better serve you and be examples of you to the world. Lord, we ask you be with those who are sick and grieved. Help us to help them any way that we can. Be with those who are suffering through wars and natural disasters, Lord. We ask you be with our leaders. Help them to have guidance to make the right decisions. We ask you be with Scott today as he brings the lesson. He may have a ready recollection of what he's prepared. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now before communion, we're going to sing two more songs. Following our communion thoughts this morning, we're going to sing a brand new song. And we are really excited about it. We learned it this past weekend on our winter experience retreat with our 5th through 12th graders. And everybody loved it. So I figured that we could give it a go today. So we're going to try it. Right now, if you would, please join me in these songs. And special note for the Pike kids, you might recognize one of them. Oh, before we do that, let's do the unison reading. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. So read with me, please. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Very good.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, we have a reading from Romans 12, the first two verses. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Good Father, as we now take this bread, we remember Jesus' body. Remember what Jesus did, what he endured, and what that means to us. We thank you so much for giving us a Savior, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again as we focus on this cup. Good Father, this cup reminds us of Jesus' blood. We're so grateful that it was shed for our forgiveness. We're so grateful for him. We pray that these things, as the letter says, will motivate us to be sacrifices ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so this one starts out with the men leading, and then the women will echo after.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me.
This time in our services, we take a few moments, think about the many ways which God has blessed us. Behind us, you have all of the electronic ways to find out how to give and of your time, your service, and your means, and we've all done that enough to know how to get there. The song that we just sang is new to me right there. I think most people in here, yeah. But it was titled Psalm 23, and I can't think about God's blessings without going back to this particular psalm. And I love the first verse, which in the New Living Translation reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Wow. You know, it doesn't say I've got all I want. It says I've got all I need. And that's what we need to focus on. God gives us everything we need. And it winds up by saying, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." God gives us every good gift and everything we need. Let's bow for a moment. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can call you our Father, that we can be your children, and that we can see your blessings in our lives day in and day out. We're very mindful of the world tragedies that are going on the other side of the world right now, Father, the earthquakes that have hit Turkey and what is happening there, Father. And we pray that you will be with those that are in need there. We pray that lives will be saved, that compassion will be rendered to those that are there, Father. But Father, we pray that we will try to have that heart of love, that heart of outreach, that are to people that are in need daily, that we see them, whether or not they're on the other side of the world, or we run into them at school, or at work, or anywhere we have, Father. Because we realize that while you are with us, you care for everybody. And that as your Christians, as your family, Father, that we need to have that heart of love for everyone. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bless us, and that we will bless others. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
God, when I am
you We'll continue our reading from Romans 12, beginning at verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight.
All right, kids, the time has come. If you're here with us this morning and you have children ages 2 through the 2nd grade, if you would, please help them make their way to the double doors up here, and they'll be led upstairs for sunshine, and they will join us at the end of worship. So we're going to sing the sunshine song.
Come and see the sunshine, come and see the sunshine. The sun is shining brightly, it's happening right here. Come and see the sunshine, come and see the sunshine. Let's mix in the sunshine, the shining over here. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Thanks for that song today. I enjoyed that. Anyway, it's great to be with everybody. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll be there in just a moment. Romans chapter 12. We're in the middle of a series called the One Another Passages and One Another Christianity. And what is the responsibility that we have to one another? How should we treat each other? What is our responsibility as the community of faith and the body of Christ? And I've tried to remind you guys that the word allelon, which is the word for one another, is mentioned over 100 times in Scripture in about 94 different verses. 47, or about half of those, are specific things that Christians are told to do in relationship to one another. And of course, the Apostle Paul was a regular user of this word, allelon, to talk about the community of faith and how we should respond to each other. At the first of this series, I tried to make the argument that loving one another is the dominant way that we fulfill the one another passages. That we want to be people who love one another. And this isn't a sappy kind of love. It's not a romantic kind of love. It's the love that says, I care about you enough that I'll sacrifice for you. I'll care enough about you that whatever it is that is the proper response for you at this moment, I will strive to give it. So it is what the situation requires. It's stepping in love in order to provide that. So we looked at forgiving one another and how important it is if we're going to love each other to forgive each other. We looked at comforting one another. Last week we looked at if we really care for one another, we'll pray for one another. And I challenged you to think about that related to your clock, to your calendar, and to your coffee cup. And I'm just curious, did anybody have any success this week with their clock, their calendar, or their coffee cup? No? Just me? Okay, well, remind me, I'm going to preach that sermon again next week. Because it was a really important sermon. If y'all didn't take it to heart, if we're not praying for one another, then we need to hear that sermon again. So it may just pop right back up until you guys get tired of it. Now remember, John, he only would preach one sermon. It was always, little children, love one another. And I'm trying to say that praying for one another is one of the great responsibilities that we have. And so built into my day are about six different times where I get a calendar reminder to pray. And I may not be able to pray at the exact moment that the calendar reminder goes off, but my desire is to not erase it from my calendar until I've done it. And so I get this reminder to pray and to pray for many of you and to kind of be people who are committed to loving one another by investing our prayers in each other. Because Jesus says that everyone will know that we're a disciple by the way that we love one another. It's the secret sauce of this church. It's what makes us different. And so what we realize is that all of these one another passages flow out of love. And today I want to talk about honoring one another. I thought on Super Bowl Sunday there'll be a most valuable player and they'll get honored and they'll get to be invited to Disney World and there'll be a parade and all this great honor. And I want us to think about how do we show honor to one another. The passage comes from Romans chapter 12 verse 10 and says, be devoted to one another in love. Well, how do we do that? Honor one another above yourselves. Part of the understanding of honor is above yourselves. It's a way of showing worth or value to other people. And just looking at our society, one of the things you'd have to say is that honor is quickly falling out of favor. Being honorable, doing the honorable thing, doesn't seem to be valued like you'd like for it to. Honor is actually in many parts being dishonored. We dishonor our police, we dishonor our politicians, we dishonor school teachers. We dishonor judges and other people who stand and try to tell us what the law tells us how we should respond. We have found that we've just kind of turned everything upside down, and the honor that should be given to certain people is not being bestowed upon them anymore. As a matter of fact, we've taken honor and dishonor, and it seems like in many ways we've reversed them. Psalm 12, verse 8 told us what the consequences of this is, and here's what David has to say. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. And so what I want us to think about today is that somebody has to be the people who give honor where honor is due. Because that's one of the things Paul told us, is that we should be giving honor to the people who honor is due to them. And so I want us to think about that today as we think about how to love one another by honoring one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our few minutes as we look at this text. As we think about what honor is, how we can bestow honor, and what's at stake in the way that we live out our life and the relationships that we have. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll bless our time and help us to dive into your word and to take it to heart. Through Christ we pray. Amen. And so, obviously, when we start thinking about honor, honor begins by this desire to honor God. And the desire to honor God is to ask the question, what is the appropriate response to show God's worth, his value, his esteem by us? How do I respond to God in order to give him honor and glory? We come, we worship because we want to honor him. We give of our time because we want to honor him. We give of our money because we want to honor him. We respond to other people in ways that Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount because we want to honor God. And so I want us to think first and foremost about how do we be specific and intentional about honoring God. One of the ways we can do this is to realize that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. A temple was a house that was built to honor the God. And Jesus, Paul, is saying that we are a body that is dedicated to honoring God. So what we do, where we go, how we respond, what we think, what we say, these are all things that indicate the value and the worth that we give to God. And so we think about that for ourselves. We also need to be people who have a zeal for the honor of God. We don't want to see God dishonored. We want to see his name lifted up. We don't want to see people take his name in vain because we care about God. I mean, God is something that we're passionate about. Some people can't stand to see America dishonored. Some people can't stand to see the flag dishonored. Well, what Scripture would teach us is the thing that we should be most upset about seeing dishonored is God. And so we read this text about Phinehas and what it says about him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of lasting priesthood because, what? He was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the sins of Israel. And so we've got to be people who care about the honor of God and that we take his honor seriously. By our actions, by the way that we live, by the time we spend in God's Word finding out what is the honorable thing to do. And so this all becomes part of honoring God. But today we really want to focus upon how do we honor one another, because this is a one another series. But I did want us to realize that honoring relationships is super important. And I will go this far. You ready for this? Honor is the key to every great relationship. Now, I want you to say this with me. Honor is the key to every great relationship. Now, turn to the person next to you and say, you know, honor is the key to every great relationship. Now, think about it for a minute. Why is that true? Because if you think about how do I show worth, how do I show esteem, how do I show value to the other person, you will respond in a correct way. The most important thing we can do to our parents, to our spouse, to our friends, to our employer, to the people that we come in contact with is to think, how do I show honor to them? And so this morning, our quick little roadmap is honor. What is it? Why do it? And how to do it? And we'll run through these pretty quick. First, what is it, honor? Well, the first thing is, Denny, how do you spell it? You know, about half the time, it seems like it's honor, H-O-N-O-R, and about the other half of the time, it's H-O-N-O-U-R. So how do you decide? Well, how well do you make, can you do a British accent? Mine is horrible. I can't do British accent. But if you can, then you can be somebody who honors with a U. If you can't, you're like me and you talk Texan a lot better than you talk British, then this is the spelling for me. Honor. But honor is this idea of bestowing honor or value or worth upon somebody else. It's having a good name. It's showing respect towards other people. It is caring about other people enough to ascribe value to them. Now, it's interesting. There's a word for honor when it relates to God, and it's doxa, which means glory. Give God glory and honor and worth. Tillman read that for us this morning in our call to worship. And by the way, Tillman, you always make a prediction on the Super Bowl, and you didn't do that today. So who is it? Eagles, okay? You heard it here first, okay? He's like Nostradamus or something. He usually gets these things right. So no betting, no wagering, but you heard it here first. But doxa, this idea of glory or honor or worth that we bestow towards God. And then the word time has to do with honor, esteem, dignity, and worth, value that we show to other people. It's a way of showing other people that we see them in high regard. We rank them highly. They are important to us, of great worth. And so we honor people. And Scripture is filled with passages that talk about honoring God and a few about how do we honor other people. And so we've talked about what is it? Honor. You got the idea? It's about showing esteem, worth, value, giving people a rank that is above your own, considering them more highly than you do yourself. That is what it means to honor someone. Well, why do it? Well, the Scripture tells us that there's a blessing that comes from honoring God. You remember that from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30? What we learn is the value of our life can be measured on how we value God. How important is God to us? How much worth do we assign to God? How much of our day is dedicated to Him and to praising Him and acknowledging His presence and living our life in such a way as to please Him? Samuel writes, "But now the Lord declares, 'Far be it from me, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained.'" God says, "I will honor those who honor me." Did you ever see the movie Chariots of Fire? If you haven't, it's worth seeing. Chariots of Fire is the story of Eric Little, who went on to be a missionary in China and actually died a martyr's death in China in a concentration camp there. But Eric Little was fast, and he ran for England. And you might remember that he refused to run on Sunday because he wanted to honor God on that day. And so the story unfolds about how, even though he was there to run a certain distance of race, he ran a different race because he wouldn't run on Sunday, and God honored him in that moment. I won't ruin it for you, but you need to watch the movie. But his quote there is, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And that we need to understand that honoring God is very important for us. But we also need to be people who honor our parents. Scripture tells us that it is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. As far back as Exodus chapter 20, look what it says. It says, "Honor your father and your mother." Why? "So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So it will go well with you, and that you'll live a long and prosperous life." But Scripture also tells us that there's a blessing in showing honor to other people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. And if one part of the body is honored, then we all rejoice and we share in that honor." And so what we need to understand is when one person is honored, we should all take joy in that. We should take joy in seeing each other held up or held in high esteem. So why do it? There you go. Now let's talk about how to do it. How do we do it? You honor your parents. Now, this isn't something that you're only supposed to do when you're a kid. This is something that you do for your whole life. And we honor parents. We honor a husband and a wife. We honor a father and a mother. And it was Pope Francis who said, "We must affirm as the church the right of children to grow up with a family that has a father and a mother." That we honor the way God developed parenthood. And that we honor our parents regardless of their age. Because we need to realize that God has called us to live honorably towards our parents. Now, this is a story I want to tell you quickly about Noah. Do you ever feel for Noah? I mean, he spent like 100 years preaching and building this ark, and nobody listened to him. And then all of a sudden, the whole world is wiped out except for his family. And he walks off the ark, and he's a whole generation older than anybody else on the planet. I mean, how would you feel to be the oldest geezer on the planet all by yourself? And so he plants a vineyard. And not only does he plant a vineyard, but he begins to sample it. And one day, he ends up drunk. Drunk, naked, and passed out in his tent. And then his son Ham shows up, probably with his grandson Canaan as well. And they go into the tent and they see their old man lying there naked, passed out, drunk. And you know what they do? They laugh about it. They make sport of him a little bit, and they go and tell their two brothers. And the rest of the story tells us that Shem and Japheth, instead of joining in the laughter at their father's expense, they grabbed a blanket and they stood this direction with Noah back there, and they walked in backwards and they covered up the shamefulness of their father. And when Noah found out what happened, he blessed Shem and Japheth. And he was very disappointed in Ham, because Ham had made sport of his father at his lowest moment. And I think it's important for us to realize that our parents are not going to be perfect. They're not going to do everything right. They're going to make some pretty major mistakes. But when they do, it's not our job to laugh at them, to insult them, or to make fun of them. And it's also not our job to cover it up and pretend like it didn't happen, but it is our job to be people who do the honorable thing in the way that we respond to our parents. And this story demonstrates for us that there is a right way to treat our parents, even when we know that they've done something dishonorable. And that is to treat them with the honor that they deserve. The second is we need to give honor to marriage. And we need to understand that we have a major commitment to whoever it is that we have given our life to. And we cannot minimize the importance of honoring our mate. This becomes critical. When you marry, you say that you will have, that you will hold, and that you will honor the person that you've married. In Song of Solomon, it tells about betrothal for a year and their dating process during that year. And then in chapter 5, the couple gets married. And after the marriage, it tells us about their life together. And one of the things that happens is one night, the husband comes home late from a hard day at work, and the wife is already in bed, and she's comfortably underneath the covers, and she's nice and warm. And he comes to the front door, and she's already locked the door. And it's starting to rain, and he's standing out in the rain, and he's getting wet. And so he's knocking on the door, and he's saying, "Oh, honey, oh, sister, oh, bride of mine, please come to the door and let me in." And she's warm and toasty in bed, saying, "I'm really comfortable in here. Do I really have to get up?" And he says, "Please, I'm getting wet." And the next thing you know, she hears a rumble on the doorknob. What is it? Well, you know, in the world that we live in today, the rumble would be John Wayne kicking the door in and showing her that she should get up when he comes. But what the story is in Song of Solomon is that he had come home with perfume for his wife. And he put perfume on the doorknob and went and slept in the barn. But he knew how to honor his mate. And we learn from this lesson how we should honor. I mean, it means that we forgive easily, that we bless constantly, that we treat people with high honor because we've given our life and our affection to them. It also means that we honor the marriage of others, that we want their marriage to succeed, that we want to be a blessing to them, and we don't want to do anything that would harm anyone else's marriage. Part of Joseph's running away from Potiphar's wife was wanting to honor her marriage and also to honor his God. And so we honor friendships. We hold friendships in very high value. I worry that we think the world is filled with microwavable friendships today. That you can just kind of have one for a moment and then let it go. That it's not of great value, that it's not of long-term worth. And we need to be people that hold friendship in very high value because friendships are precious. They don't come easily. They're worth working for. One of my favorite stories about David comes from 2 Samuel chapter 23. Bethlehem has been conquered by the Philistines, and there's on a hill looking down at Bethlehem, his hometown where he was born, and he sees a well just outside the city by the gate. And as he's thinking about that well, he turns to some of his friends and says, "That's the best water I've ever drank. The water from that well, when I was a boy, after a hard day, we would come over here and just get the bucket. And I mean, I wish you could taste that water. There's nothing like it." The next thing David knows, he's watching as three of his friends fight their way down into the city of Bethlehem. And two of them, with swords, protect the third one, who sticks a bucket in the well, draws a bucket filled with water, and then they fight their way all the way back up the hill to David and smile real big and say, "You wanted that water? Here it is." How much do those guys love David that they would do that? But David, when he's given this water, looks at his three friends and he says, "I can't drink this water because your lives are way too valuable to me for me to drink this water." And he poured it out as a thank offering before the Lord to thank God for the friends that God had given him. We've got to be people who value friendship. And so we know what honor is. We know that there's a blessing that comes with it. And we really have a pretty good idea of how to bestow it. But let's get super practical as we close today. Honor your father and your mother. That's tip number one. Honor your father and your mother. You may have heard this little poem before. Love your parents and treat them with loving care, for you will only know their value when you see the empty chair. That your parents become much wiser and much smarter when they're not around anymore. And you spend years wishing your parents would get off your back, only to realize that they were the only ones who ever really had it. And so value your parents. Pope Francis said, "Never insult your parents. Your mother, your father, they gave you life. Never, ever insult your parents." Socrates said, "Treat your parents the way you'd like your children to treat you." That's a good one, isn't it? And remember, they just won't be around forever. So give them the honor, give them the time, give them the encouragement that they deserve. It comes with a promise. If you honor your parents, things will go well for you. And you'll enjoy a good life upon this earth. So pray about the right ways for you to show honor to your parents. I understand some of you are wanting to say, "Scott, you don't know my parents." And I don't. But I do know they weren't perfect. And I do know that basically everybody comes from a dysfunctional family. And so what we have to do is to find ways to honor our parents for the good that they did and to be grateful for them. We have to honor marriage, number two, and be quick to defend our spouse's honor. We should compliment our spouse often and in public. One of my favorite Winston Churchill stories was that he was at a dinner party one time when he was the prime minister, and somebody asked him at the dinner party, "Mr. Churchill, if you could be anybody in all of history other than yourself, who would you be?" And he thought for just a second and he said, "That's easy. I would be whoever ended up being married to Mrs. Churchill." And he was saying, if I could be anybody else in the world other than me, I would want to be whoever's married to her. Because she is of incredible value to me. So we talk daily to honor our spouse. We thank them regularly. You know, it's an okay thing to send thank you notes to the person that you're married to. We find the good and we say, "I love you," because we want to honor this relationship and hold it in the highest regard. And we want to honor friendships. And to remember, friends love at all times. Thomas Aquinas, probably the greatest Catholic theologian, I didn't know he had said this, but he said, "There is nothing on the earth more to be prized than true friendship." Value it greatly. Invest in friendships. Proverbs says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." And an Irish proverb says, "A good friend is like a four-leaf clover, hard to find, lucky to have." A friend loves at all times, and there is a brother who is born for adversity. Or another way of saying it, a real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. But we honor our friends. We invest in them. We hold them in high regard. So how do we close today? By encouraging us to be prayerful about what is the way that we can show honor to those that deserve it. One of the things that we can do before we go home is to pray about how we're going to honor our spouse, how we're going to honor our children, how we're going to honor our parents. We can pray about how we'll do the honorable thing at work. We can pray about meetings that we're going to have and how can I be somebody who bestows honor and who does the right thing. Hebrews 13 says, "Pray for us, for we are persuaded that we have a good conscience and that we desire to live honorably in all things." And so what we want to do is to be people who give honor where honor is due. And it will come from living intentionally. You won't honor other people by accident. But if you decide that being honorable and honoring other people is an important value for you, then you'll know how, in every situation, to give people the worth, the value, and the esteem that they deserve. And always, always, always start with God and give Him the honor that He's due. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us the opportunity to show honor to You, to hold You in high esteem, to give You the value that is due Your wonderful name. And Lord, we pray that You'll then help us to be honorable in all that we do and to give honor to those whom honor is due, starting closest to us in the most important relationships. Help us to be honorable in all that we do, that Jesus might be glorified through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There may be some reason that you would like the prayers of the church, or it may be a call upon your heart. We don't know what that is today. We're not in a hurry. We're going to stay here and eat lunch in just a few minutes. But we would love to pray for you, bless you, encourage you. If there's anything we can do for you, come up here during this song, and we'd be glad to do that as we stand and sing together. So
tides call sweeping beams over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us assist to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne of love. While we hear it ringing, let us see the call. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength coming from above. As we labor and wait, we must all be true. Let us assist to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne of love. While we hear it ringing, let us see the call of love.
We are thrilled that you were able to be with us this morning. I know that I'm not alone when I say that your presence here was an encouragement. And I do want to remind everybody about our Super Sunday fellowship meal that we have prepared in the fellowship hall. Please stay and fellowship with us if you're visiting. We would love to have you. Also, I have a quick message from Rita. Rita asked me to remind all the ladies in the building about an event coming up this Tuesday on Valentine's Day. She said, all women are invited to a Galentine's lunch this Tuesday. It will be held in the fellowship hall at 11:30. Bring your favorite lunch dish and invite all your best gals. Those are Rita's words. So please join me in this last song, and then at the close of that, the day will be yours.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us.
Seen them. We know this person, or perhaps we've been this person, the wise guy. We have all known of at least one person like this, a person who repeatedly makes smart remarks, one who draws attention to themselves. And oftentimes, a wise guy may be defined as a person who speaks and behaves as if they know more than the others, or this person makes irritating, even sarcastic remarks. You know, at first we may think that this person is clever or cute, but as time goes on, that person's actions become a bit less cute, and we become very weary of their actions or responses. Hello, everyone. I'm Ronnie Ferris, an elder here at the Church of Christ in Green Hills. Thank you for joining us in worship today as we begin our week together. On a recent morning, when I opened my Bible app on my reading device. The verse at the top of the screen came up. It was from Romans 12, verse 16. And the last half of that verse read, "Never be wise in your own sight." I had to stop and think. This verse spoke to me. So I questioned myself, have I been the wise guy? With a bit of self-reflection, I had to admit that, yes, I have been that person. Ouch. So I had to back up and reread this section beginning with verse 9 in order to get the bigger picture which Paul was saying to me. This scripture heading is often entitled Marks of the True Christian. There are a number of bullet points well worth pondering as I think about walking daily as a representative of Jesus. So let's consider what he's saying to us. Let love be genuine. Hold in utter disgust anything that's evil. Love fellow Christians, holding them in high regard, higher than yourself. Give honor to those who deserve it. In serving the Lord, our zeal should be intense and strong. Rejoice in the hope that we've been given in Jesus. We should be patient in our trying times and in constant in prayer. We should help the saints and find ways to be hospitable. Bless and do not curse. In caring for others, rejoice and weep with one another. And get along with each other. We are to associate with all people, no matter their socioeconomic status. And don't be a wise guy. Treat everyone fairly and don't be vengeful. Within your ability, live at peace with everyone. And although we may feel like seeking revenge, leave that to God, because this is a matter of the heart. And when we do that, we will overcome evil with good. So if you're like me, more than one of these caught my heart. Let me propose that both you and I work on making these Christ-like qualities more a part of our lives. Would you like to talk with someone to discuss how you are making these a part of your Christian life? Feel free to reach out to us at elders@cocgh.org. We'll be glad to walk with you on this journey. And although no one really likes a wise guy, when we allow God's Word to guide our lives, we can become wise in these Christ-centered qualities. And as these change our lives, we will have a greater impact on those around us. So until next time, have a blessed week in God's Word.